Okay, so the topic for today, as you know, is the sanctity of the Hebrew alphabet. The first source on your sheets speaks about the creation, if you will, of the alphabet. The Mishnah Misachos Avos tells us that 10 things were created on Friday afternoon, the first Friday afternoon. And there's a whole list of things that were created. And among them, Hachtav. Hachtav, Michtav, Haluchos. It's unclear exactly what these things mean. The Luchos seem to be the Luchos were created already from the beginning for, you know, Hashem gave them to Moshe. They were already created from the beginning of creation. But Hachtav seems to be referring to the letters. This, of course, seems a bit odd because we know from many Midrashim that the Torah existed before the world was created. It's unclear exactly how it existed before the world was created. Were there letters? Eish Levona, Levana, Gabi Eish Shechora, different understandings. Maybe the Torah was oral. But Hachtav, some understand the next word as being Machtev, that the utensil that was used to etch in the Luchos, right? What's Michtav? Maybe it's Machtev, just like Marzea. But in any case, we know that the Hebrew alphabet is very ancient. And the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin, the next source, discusses the development of the alphabet. So the Gemara says, source number two, Amar Marzutra. Marzutra said, "Itim Amar Ukva." Some say it's Amar Ukva. "B'tchila nitna Torah liYisrael b'chtav Ivri v'lashon haKodesh." The Torah was initially given in Chtav Ivri. Chtav Ivri is the ancient Jewish characters. If you're into archaeology, they have artifacts. They have these ancient. Or do you have to get into archaeology? Take out a shekel. Anybody have a shekel? Mm-hmm. What does it say on the shekel? You have a shekel? It doesn't have Hebrew. It has ancient Hebrew. I think it's called paleo characters. Okay. So it says something, right? It says a shekel. It says a shekel. It's ancient. That's how the letters look like, right? You see? People want to look at them?
Which one?
So, initially the Torah was given in Chtav Ivri. The Hebrew language existed, but the letters were Chtav Ivri. The letters were these ancient Jewish letters. Chazra, Hebrew letters. The Chazra v'nidin alehem v'nidin Ezra v'chtav Ashuris v'lashon Aram. In the time of Ezra, the characters changed. When Ezra came back after the first Galus, he came back to the land of Israel, he brought with him a new type of characters, new letters. And the Jewish people chose to use this new language, these new characters, but they wanted to hold on to Lashon HaKodesh. It came from Asher. Tani Rebbe, his first opinion is Bar Zutra, that the characters actually changed. Torah was not given in the characters we have today. It was given in these ancient Hebrew characters. Second opinion, Rebbe Omer, B'tchila K'sav Zeh Nitna Torah Yisrael. This is the original. What we have today is the original characters. K'mesh HaKatzu Nefrach L'hem L'roetz. When the Jewish people sinned, they forgot the K'sav. That's a pretty hard argument to make. How do you forget the K'tav? You need to have Sefer Torah. For some reason, they forgot the K'tav. K'mesh HaKazru Hechzirum. So according to the second opinion of the Rebbe, what we have today is the original Jewish characters, Hebrew characters. It's just it was out of use for a while, and it made a comeback later. Okay. What is the third opinion? Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Reb Shimon ben Elazar Rabbi Leparta, Reb Shimon ben Elazar Modai, K'sav Zeh Lo Nishtaneh Kalikra. It was never changed. It was never any lapse. It's true you find in the artifacts a different type of characters, but that wasn't the Jewish, that wasn't Hebrew, that was a different Semitic language. It was never changed. Shenemar Vavi Amudim, it's possible Vavi Amudim, Ma Amudim Lonishtanim, just like the Amudim don't change, the Amudim of the Mishkan, Af Vavim Lonishtanim, so the letter Vav doesn't change. V'omer Alihudim V'chsavim L'shonam, Ma L'shonam Lonishtanim, just like the language didn't change, so too the characters didn't change. So we have an interesting debate here in the Gemara Sanhedrin. If the characters, the Hebrew characters that we have today, the Ketav Ashurit, is the original characters the Torah was given, or did it change? We have three opinions in the Gemara, right? First opinion is that it changed. It was originally given in Ketuvim Ivri. Then, at the time of Ezra, it was changed. Second opinion is that, according to Rabbi, that it was originally given in our Ketuv, our characters, and then the Jewish people forgot it, and then it was reinstated subsequently. And according to the last opinion of Lozan Rodai, it never changed. It was always Ketuv Ashuris. And what we have today is what the Torah was given in as well. Interesting. If you look at the next source, the Ritva in the Sex Megillah, he's very bothered by this possibility that the length, that the characters changed. How can it be the Torah we have? It's not like the same Torah Moshe got. It's a Tema Gadol, source number 3. It's a wonder. Shia Aktav Hazem Usha Sheish Bakol Kot Vimenu Tile Tilin Shalalafas. The length, the our letters are so significant. He references to Gemara Benachos. Gemara Benachos tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu got to Shemayim, so he saw God writing Ketarim, writing crowns on the letters. Right? If you ever see the Sefer Torah, there's some letters that have little crowns on them. Mm-hmm. The letters Shatnez Gatz, they have a little keter, a little crown, Tavim. And Moshe asked God, why are you writing these little crowns? Like, what's with this? So Hashem tells Moshe, you should know there'll be a great scholar named Rabbi Akiva, and he'll learn hundreds of halachas from these little crowns. So Moshe Rabbeinu is like astounded. He says, wow, I want to meet this guy. So there's some time machine, and Moshe Rabbeinu ends up in Rabbi Akiva's base medrash, and he sits in the back row, and he doesn't understand the word. And Moshe Rabbeinu is like, how can it be there? I'm supposed to get the Torah, and you don't understand. And if 2,000 years later people aren't going to understand, then Rabbi Akiva says, so he answers a question, the student asks him, what's the source? And he says, oh, this is Allah Moshe Mesinai. This is what God told Moshe. So the Lord says Moshe was, comforted that even though the Torah develops, it's all connected to the initial revelation at Sinai. Very fascinating. Gemara, we talk about it a lot. But what's interesting about Gemara is that Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva was Menachos Chafetz Chaim. Very interesting Gemara. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Akiva was Dorish Tile Tilin Shalalachos from the Ksarim. So, says the Ritva, what do you mean? The Torah wasn't given in this length, in these characters? There's so much to learn from these characters. The Gemara sounds like these characters with their tagin were the initial characters in which the Torah was given.
What's
Tile Tilin? Many, like numerous. Numerous halachos. Again, Shiyesh Bakol Kots the Kots, every tag. Tile Tilin Shalalachos. Yesodus HaTorah Ksav Shal Bnei Asher of Yuha Luchos Mikhtav Yivri. How can it be that these letters came from Asher? And the Torah that was given was in a different characters. What Ksav Yivri Ma Neis Chayav Emem Mezav. Gemara tells us that when the Luchos were given, it was miraculous that the letters of the Luchos went through and through. That the Luchos wasn't just written engraved in, it was engraved all the way through. The letter Samach is a circle. So if this is my luach, right? This is one of the tablets, and this is the letter samach. If it goes all the way through the middle of the samach, what happens to it?
It's flying.
It would fall down. So the Gemara says it was in Bnei Sayom, it was like suspended in midair. So, wow, okay, well, I'm not sure what that means, but it seems like the Ritva says the letter samach looked like this. In Ksav Ivri, it doesn't look like this. In Ksav Ivri, that's not how a samach is written. So it's clear that the Chazal understood that the Torah was given with our Ksav. That's what the Ritva says. Well, Vade ain't Safik, there's no doubt. Shazeh Ksav and Ikra Shuris, this Ksav is called the Shuris, Ksav Kodesh, Shabaluchos. This, we have our Ksav, it's the same characters that were in the Luchos. Valshem Kach Nikra Kodesh. V'chein Moshana Kodesh, it's a Hebrew, it's a holy language and a holy alphabet. We olam lo nira ksav ahu el beluchos. Av a loshan hakodesh kfar noda al avos v'nei Yisrael kodem an Torah, avo Hashem medaber im nivyav, kadoshav, v'av abiche im mitoch tumas kdushas haksav ahu v'osin yavim v'ahil kodsvim asan. So says the Ritva, the Torah was given in what we call Ksav Ashuris, but then people stopped using it, because it was so holy, they didn't want to use it. So he wants to have his cake and eat it too. The Torah was given in this Ksav that we have today, the Ksav Ashuri, and yet it wasn't used because it was so holy. They weren't right with them. So the Ritva is essentially assuming that the Torah was given in, it's kind of similar to Rebbe's opinion, that it was given in one language, in Ksav Ashuri, and then it was changed to Ivri and then it went back to Ashuris. He just doesn't have it in terms of as a result of sin, but more as a result of the Jewish people's their own want to somehow reserve this language, this characters for Katusha, they stopped using the Ksav.
But it doesn't say that they continued using it again.
I mean, it's obvious that it's, we do it today. So the Yerushalmi in Megillah actually discusses this question of the Luchos and brings it into the debate. Amar of Levi, Manja Amar the Ra'at Nidna. If you say that the Torah was given initially in Ashuris and then it was changed, we lost it. A Torah Ayin Masinisim, with the letter Ayin in ancient Hebrew characters actually looks like Arsamach. So there was an ace in the Luchos, depending on your opinion. If the Torah was given in the ancient script, so then it would be, this would be the Ayin. And if it was in modern script, Ashuris, it would be Asamach. So basically the Rishon is trying to say that there was an ace in the Luchos no matter how you slice it. And part of the what the Ritva said is that how can it be there was an ace in the Luchos if it was Ksav Ivri, because after all, the letter Samech isn't a circle in Ksav Ivri. So the Rishami basically answers that question. I guess the Rishami wasn't aware. The Rishami says that it wasn't the Samech that was an ace, but it was the Ayin, the letter Ayin, in ancient Jewish, in ancient Hebrew characters, looks like a circle. In any case, I have over here the Hemek Dover, the Tziv. So it's number 5. He writes, the Kol Yisrael, Hayu Rishayim Lichtav Ksav Livona, Kedi Isa Sham. They would use the Ksav Ivri. Shaya kach ashba Ezra sofer. Aval hamelech haya mitzvah lichtov Ashuris. Ksev Torah shakasav Moshe Rabbeinu v'nin lekohanim v'levim. So the Ibn Torah likewise is uncomfortable with the idea that the Torah was not given in Ksav Ashuris. So we have a debate in the Gemara if the Torah was given in Ksav Ashuris or not. Maybe it was given in Ksav Ivri, it was changed to Ksav Ashuris subsequently, of Ezra. But you have the Ritva, you have the Amikdavar, you have Mepharshim who are uncomfortable with this idea that the Torah we have today is not the Torah that Moshe got. Why might they be uncomfortable with that notion?
Because there's no changes in the Torah.
It's uncomfortable to say that things change, right? Things do change sometimes, but it's something that we would be, especially if we assume that there's significance not only to the message the Torah has, but also to the medium, to the characters. If we think there's Kedusha in the letters,
then how could it change?
Then how can it change, right? So, basic question, Ketav Ashuri, we have this, called modern, it's not really modern, but you know, since the time of Ezra, we write in square characters. We don't use what we call the ancient Hebrew characters. So, is the Ketav Ashuri, you tell me, is it what? We look at the Hebrew alphabet.
Is it the same
original? Is it the one that the Torah was written in?
That's the question. That's the factual question. Is it the same characters the Torah was given in originally? But what might that touch with then? You see, like I pointed out, the Ritva, the Mektavar are uncomfortable assuming change. So one suggestion was change. We don't like change. We're very, you know, a small C conservative. We don't change. Okay. But why? Why? Just because we don't like change? Or is there something significant here?
What's something that's like...
The letters themselves...
Have significance.
The letters have significance. What might the significance of the letters?
We have that was the way that Hashem
gave it over it.
Hashem gave the... What was the first source I quoted? What was created? Sorry, Dvar Nivru, Erev Shabbos, Spanish Mashas.
The letters.
The letters were created. So if the letters were created, there's probably Kedusha in the letters. The letters aren't just a medium to get the message across. Because then maybe the letters aren't so important. You write in this language, you're in that language, you can change them. Maybe the letters have a significance, potentially. So I think that maybe what made these Mepharshim uncomfortable with changing letters is the assumption that the letters have significance. If they have significance, we don't want them to be changed. We want to have the same letters that Moshe received from Hashem. We don't want to have different letters. Potentially, I mean, it's a suggestion, I'm not sure. But this question certainly has a lot of ramifications. Things just written on the board, is the Ksav, is it just a, you know, a medium to get the message across, or is there inherent significance or inherent Kedusha to the letters itself? And we have a concept of Lashon HaKadosh, the language is Kedusha, do the letters have Kedusha? That's the question I want to analyze with you. How do you look at the Hebrew letters? Is there inherent Kedusha to the letters themselves?
Well,
Okay?
If they were written at the same time of the Lucrece and at that time, then that kind of, that's a source for that. It is Kedusha.
Right. So I think, and you can, sounds like you agree with me, that if we want to make sure that our letters are the same letters that, that Moshe got, maybe that's because the letters have a certain, you know, Kedusha to them. We can learn Tile, Tile, and Halakos from the letters. Maybe, maybe not, but that's a suggestion. Okay, so more hardcore nafkaminas. The first is from the Tshuvas HaRambam. The Rambam, as you know, wrote most of his works in Arabic. He wrote the Yad HaZaka, his most important work in Hebrew. Everything else was written in Arabic and it was translated. So when you have translations, you always have to be careful because, you know, sometimes depending how it was translated. And the Rambam's Tshuvas, he wrote also responses. People asked him questions. Most of them were lost. We have, after the Cairo Geniza, they found in Egypt, you know, 100 years ago. And so then we found a lot of Tshuvas from the Rambam. The Rambam lived in Egypt for many years. But initially there was like a collection called Pe'er HaDor, like 150 Tshuvas. And then, I guess more recently, they found more Tshuvas. So there was a professor named Yeshua Blau who collected the Tshuvas, and he actually published them with the Arabic on one side and the Hebrew on the other side, so you can check if you speak Arabic. And so here in his collection, Simon Reish Samaches, he has the following Tshuva from the Rambam. Vidvar Talis, in regard to the Talis, Sherbachar Osa Ben Adam Letzayet. A person had a Talis, he wanted to, it's wonderful. Viratzalis, now as a mitzvah, he wanted to make the Talis beautiful. So far, so good. Beautiful Talis is a good thing to have. Virakam, he embroidered Shulev and Meshi, Undus Mushabakas, he put some silk on the Talis. The Kasav Shulev, he wrote on it, Possum and Parshas Vayomer, the Kasav Shem Hashem, Vishlosha Yudin. He made artistic embroidery. And he put a pasuk of the mitzvah of tzitzis. Says the Rambam, "Zebizayon Torah b'litzafik." It's a terrible thing to do. It's funny because today it's pretty common. Right? Most people have nice decorated palaces. Finally, the Rambam wasn't so accepted, and he's not into it. Why is he not into it? Nosaf liyos kamkein chiddush v'stiyah. This is a new thing. Okay. Shelohaya kamosu b'Yisrael afi da'at the thing. So he's not so into, you know, innovations. Okay, it's a certain approach. Some people like innovations, but okay. So he has a more halachic compelling argument, not just intuition. This language, these characters, these are the characters that was given him. These are the characters that the tablets were given in. Meguna, it's inappropriate. It's inappropriate to write anything in Hebrew characters unless you're writing Tanakh, you're writing the holy works. Filoposko Yisrael Nishamer Bezem, Hayyvrasim, Chibrech Chameim, Bechsav Chol, Shelahem, Bechsav Ivri Levad. And he argues that the Jewish people have a custom not to use Hebrew. It's funny, you know, today living in the state of Israel where you open up a newspaper, you open up a novel, everything is written in Hebrew. And Eliezer ben Yehuda thought that was a wonderful thing. He revived the Jewish language. He had to create a lot of new words, you know, because the language wasn't in real use. Except for religious usage, it wasn't really. So he made a lot of new words, and he made and a lot of things. People think this is a wonderful thing. Rambam, I don't know what he would think about it today, but in his time, he was not into using Hebrew for non-holy usages, and even not just the language, but even the characters. Right? He says that the Jewish people were careful. Like he would write letters. In Kis Vechol, the Chassav Ivri, they would use different characters.
I have a question.
Yes.
Because you're saying that it's, the Rambam is saying that it's for, it can't like get used for non-holy purposes if it's not Tanakh, but in a way you would think that a Talis and Tzitzis, that's...
Right, excellent. The Talis is, you know, you're not using it to write a secular novel. You're using
it for Kedusha.
You're using it, but it's not really technically Kedusha. There's a difference between an old pair of tefillin that have to be buried, because they're Kedusha, Tashmishei Kedusha, Nikdazim, as opposed to an old Talis that technically you can throw it out. We generally try away from doing that. We wrap it up. We try to use it for another mitzvah. You know, you have old lulav, so they're just throwing it out. We save it for Bir Chametz. But technically you're allowed to throw it out, because after the mitzvah's over, there's no more Kedusha. So a Talis doesn't have a real Kedusha to it, as opposed to, let's say, Tefillin. That's a different halachic category. This is an interesting point. The Tashbetz, who was a Rishon, lives in Algiers, he argues with the Rambam. Umash kos savta, the shem chuvas Rambam, somebody quoted the Rambam, she'ein lichtov ger, source number 7, you shouldn't write a divorce document with these characters. Tzmiyali milsa. It's wondrous to me. It's incorrect. Vatam shenosan eichishamish b'zem hichtav elokim v'nizamein osol v'zayin enotam nochem. The fact that these characters were holy characters doesn't mean that you have to be careful with them. You can also throw out a newspaper that's written in Hebrew. There's no, the content is what counts, not the character. V'chima kedusha yesh b'chsiva ein kedusha el b'tvarim hechtavim. The kedusha is from the content, not from the characters. It's interesting proof. The language of Hebrew is also called the holy tongue, right? Are you allowed to speak Hebrew in a bathroom?
Yeah.
Yes. Right? Are you allowed to speak Hebrew in a bathroom? Yes. Right? So if the Hebrew language, which is holy, can be used in a bathroom, so too the Hebrew characters, which is holy, can be used for profane, non-holy usages. He says the Tashbetz, Jewish people always used Hebrew characters, even for non, you want to rent an apartment, so you write a contract in Hebrew. So he proves it from Gemara in Yavamos that they would write random documents in Hebrew with Hebrew characters. So we have an interesting debate here between the Rambam and the Tashbetz as to whether or not it's permissible to use Hebrew characters to write something that doesn't have Kedusha. I'm writing a contract, I'm writing a letter. The Rambam seems to be uncomfortable with that idea. Why? You tell me. Because the Rambam thinks the characters are holy.
Mm-hmm.
They've inherited holiness. And the Tashrit says, what do you mean? The characters aren't better than the language. The language is also holy, but you can talk in Hebrew about baseball, and you can talk about politics, and not just about Torah. So too, the characters, you can write about baseball and about politics, not just about Torah. Another nafka mina to this question. Questions, comments? We know that there's a concept of an oath. A person takes a shvua. And there's a discussion in the Rishonim. When you take an oath, do you have to swear by the name of God? Or can you just swear? What is the significance of a shvua? Is it only if you swear by the name of God? Or if you just swear, is that also considered a halachically binding oath? And there's a discussion about a person swearing while holding a religious object. You swear by holding a Sefer Torah or by holding tefillin. And if you look at the Beis Yosef, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, he quotes Rav Haigon, so some rate. A person takes a dictionary and you swear holding a dictionary. Does that have significance? The letters in the dictionary make what? Make God's name, right? So if you hold the Sefer Torah, what's in the Sefer Torah? God's name, right? So holding Sefer Torah is like swearing in God's name. You're holding tefillin, you hold a mezuzah. What if you hold a Hebrew newspaper, a secular Hebrew newspaper? So the Rav Haigon says, you take alphabet. Person takes a math book or I don't know language in the math book, a history book. If the history book is written in Hebrew characters, so there's significance to that oath because he took the oath while holding what? The holy language. The Rambam seems to say that's not true. Holding a Sefer Torah is one thing. Holding a history book is something else. Taking an oath, holding a history book, you didn't swear in God's name. You were holding a history book. So this issue might also touch on it. The minute I assume that there's sanctity to the language itself, so even if I'm holding a history book, but it's a Hebrew history book, so if I take an oath holding a history book, it's like I'm taking an oath in God's name. Because the language is holy. Whereas the Rambam, even the Rambam was against writing the Hebrew characters on the talis, he thought it was inappropriate, he's not going to go so far as saying that when you're holding a history book, it's like you're swearing God's name. That's obviously a much more significant jump. Meaning, so it's a question where to draw the line, but this touches on the same question: to what extent is there holiness in the Hebrew language? If you look in the next marker, source number 9, there's a fascinating Rambam. Rambam Hilchos Shabbos speaks about a fire. So there's a fire in Shabbos. So today, what happens if there's a fire in Shabbos? What do you do?
You call the boy.
No, what do you do? What do you do if there's a fire? You put it out. Why do you put it out?
It's then
life or death.
Sakana Stefajos, right? In our day and age where we live in cities, if there's a fire, so there's a potential for the loss of life. You know, you can't say, oh, my house is burning down, but it'll be okay. The neighbor's house is also going to burn down. Once upon a time, people lived in a very far, you know, if you live in the country, let's say even today, if you live in a place where there's no potential loss of life, it's very rare to have that. You know, it could be a forest fire. But like, theoretically, a person, fundamentally, theoretically, we don't allow one to put out a fire just to save their home, even though it's a hard thing to do. You do, obviously, you can call a non-Jew, you can try to do groma, you can put the water near, either ways to halakhically do it. But in our day and age where we live in cities, so obviously, the first thing you do is you put it out because it's a kind of nefarious, it's dangerous. But the Rambam's talking about a situation where it wasn't dangerous, a lone house in the middle of nowhere, and you want to save the things in the house. So we, most of us, live in cities with Eruv. If you're someone on an Eruv, so then you can carry. But if there's no Eruv, so how do you carry things out of the house? So you're going to lose your couch and you're going to lose your chair. What about your Sefer Torah? You don't let the Sefer Torah go up in flames? So what do you do in that circumstance? So if you look at the Rambam, Mutu la'atzel kol kisvei ha'kodesh she'ish b'chatzer l'chatzer acheresh osu mavui, you can save the... It's actually interesting because he's talking about a situation where there are homes and there's some courtyard, so there is another home. But for whatever reason, there was no concern of Pikuch Nefesh. You didn't have to put the fire. So you save the Sefer Torah by taking it to the courtyard. You take it to the courtyard. Even though you didn't make an Eruv in the courtyard, it has to be Rosh Hashanah. I'm not going to go through the details. What type of Sefer Torah do you save? Do you save your Art Scroll Tanakh? Or do you only save your Tanakh written in Hebrew characters? What does the Rambam say? V'hu shiyek sun ashur. So only to save it, it's written in Hebrew characters. Lashon HaKodesh. Hebrew characters in Hebrew language. And theoretically, you can have Hebrew characters in transliterization, right? You can have like English characters in Hebrew words, or you can have vice versa. You can have in Hebrew characters with English words. So it has to be written in Hebrew and in Hebrew language. It was written in a different language or a different font. Aim at Silan Hassan, a few Hayashan Eruv. We call also Likrosban, Elaminichin and Rokma Torah, and these Avdin Lam. Says around, we don't bother saving translations.
This
is not true, Lahalacha. We don't assume this to be correct. The Rambam's great great grandson, Rabbi Yeshua Hanagid, was asked about this. Many of the Rambam's descendants were asked about his various opinions. His son, famously, and also this is his. Grandson's grandson, Yeshua Nagi, the last of his descendants who remained in Egypt, has a tshuva about this. And he writes, this is only true before Torah Shebal Peh was permitted to be written down. We know there are two types of Torah. We have the written Torah that was given to Moshe, and we have the oral tradition that Moshe received, we call the Gemara, the Mishnah, the explanation of the Torah. The written Torah, the oral Torah, the explanation. And for many generations, the oral Torah was not allowed to be written down. The oral Torah had to be oral, that's what it's called oral. And the written Torah had to be written. It couldn't be recited orally. It has to be written. We have two. This breakdown between the oral Torah and the written Torah is basically forgotten because about 2,000 years ago, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who authored the Mishnah, realized that people are forgetting the Torah. And the oral Torah is being forgotten because of the persecutions. And he said, we have to write it down. So today we write down, you know, look at the bookshelf, how much of it is the written Torah? Only a very small percentage. Most of it is the oral Torah that is now no longer oral. Now it's the oral Torah, which is now written. Pardon? So, the Yeshua Nagi, the Rambam's grandson's grandson, explains that this is true. The idea of not saving the Torah that is translated is when it was usher, was forbidden to write it. Once upon a time, the Art Scroll is not a translation, it's an interpretation. Every translation is an interpretation, it's oral Torah. So, it's a translation of the Torah. So, that translation wasn't supposed to exist, it was supposed to be written in Hebrew, and then you're supposed to explain it in English or in French or in Chinese. Once Rabbi Yonasi decided to write down the oral Torah, so you also save the Tanakh that's written in a different language. In any case, this Tzach of Rambam, that we're not going to bother saving the Torah that's not written in Hebrew characters, fits very well with his opinion in the Shuvah that I put earlier. The characters themselves are what? Are holy.
Was he referring to like the ones that have like halos and tarot with like crowns and...
Yeah. Well, there's a question, does Ksav Ashuri mean only the actual Ksav of the Torah, or what we call block print? Block print, modern Hebrew is block print. If you look over here...
Right, exactly.
Those characters are not Torah characters, but they're block prints. There's a machlokas lahalacha, if that's considered Ksav Ashuri. Some people are machmir for this. It's not so common, but there are people who try not to use wedding invitations. So one issue with wedding invitations is if people write psukim. What happens to the wedding invitation? There's a generational gap. Like today, what's the wedding invitation? You get an occasional post, right? But in our generation, so you actually got something in the mail, right? And then you put it on the fridge and you forget about it. Today, to my emails, I never remember to go to the weddings because whatever. Okay, so one issue is, you know, should you write psukim? It's going to be thrown out. Okay. There's a separate question. Maybe it's inappropriate to use these characters. Maybe you should write in script. And there are some people, it's not very common, but there are some people who are careful only to use this font when they're writing Torah. Obviously, living in the state of Israel, it's very hard because everything has, you get your bill, your water bill, your electric bill, is all in Hebrew in these characters. So I think the assumption is that only the Ksav Ashuri, the Ksav of the Sefer Torah, that has the unique status, according to that opinion. Or we just don't pass it this way, we don't hold like the Rambam. But in any case, the Rambam, I think, is consistent in that he views the characters of Ksav Ashuri to have inherent the Kedusha, and therefore something, a Torah written in a different characters, will not be saved on Shabbos. Again, in his time or in the time of before Rebbe. Okay. Another question. The Tshuva L'Chovas Yair, Rav Yair Bachrach, one of the early Achronim, he discusses the question of Tanakh. Look at verse number 10. Ksuvim Ksav Acher Shekorim Ksav Rashi. Remember, we call Ksav Rashi, it wasn't written by Rashi. Rashi never saw Ksav Rashi. Rashi, the Ksav Rashi was developed a few hundred years later by printers, which is easier to write in that type of, they made a new characters. So if you have a Tanakh written, it's known as Ksav Rashi, not in Ksav Ashuris. What's the story with that Tanakh? How much holiness does that Tanakh have? So he discusses the question of a husband and a wife being intimate in front of such a book. Meaning, when a husband and wife are intimate, so it's a wonderful mitzvah, but it's not to be done in front of a Sefer Torah, in front of Tefillin. It's not, it doesn't, it flies in the face. Again, there's Kedusha in that a chibur, obviously, but it's a different type of kedusha, and therefore it's incongruous with having a sefer Torah in the room at the time. So, what happens if you have a modern sefer written in Ksav Rashi, or you know, if we use our Ksav, our Ksav is not Ksav Ashuris? What would the halacha be in that case? So, says the Ksav Yoyer, Tanach v'Ksuvim v'Ksav Acher, going to call Ksav Rashi, Chalil Lanu Lenu Gem Shu Bizan. We shouldn't throw out a Tanach written in those characters. Ki Kodesh Hem Itza Inyan. The content is kedusha. When we tzad tachli shem lumod lamid dvar Torah, the efter the lochamira kulei hai the inan isur tashish becheder b'shas atchak. He says, but even though we shouldn't throw out this Tanakh that's written in Ksav Rashi, maybe there's no isur to be intimate with one's spouse if they're in the room. You call them in lismach al zeh lalach lomaisim efter. He says it's better to take hate out of the room, but maybe it could be somech. He says b'shas atchak. And likewise, the Tzitzel Yezer, contemporary, probably passed away maybe 15 years ago, he was a great Gaon, the Rav of the Shai Tzedek Hospital, and he wrote about 25 volumes, or 23 volumes of Tshuvas. He discusses a lot of medical health, because he was a rabbi of the hospital, a lot of the medical ethics that was developing in the 60s and 70s, he was like a forerunner of medical ethics, halakha of medical ethics. So he discusses the permissibility of taking a sefer into the bathroom. Sometimes you're traveling, you're going to catch your bus, you're at the Tachan Rekazit, so you want to bring your chumash into the bathroom with you. So what is the chumash written in? What characters are used in the chumash? It's Lashon HaKodesh, but it's block, but it's not Ksav Ashuris, mamish. It's not written in Sefer Torah characters. Most chumashim, it's just standard block Ksav. So he wants to know, can you take it into the bathroom with you? It's a similar question. The heavenly roof, source number 11. Ruben the Ruben the Chsav HaKadushim Shemayadeinu. Most of our Hebrew books, Enam Chsuvim Chsav HaShuv, not written in the actual Chsav of the Sefer Torah. In Cain, Pasha Temotu Lekanes Osam Vesekise, you're allowed to bring him into the bathroom. So he's the question of bringing it, you cover it once, you cover it twice, there's a whole sugya, how many times you have to cover it. So he says, with one covering it's enough. And you have your chumash in your knapsack, go into the bathroom, don't worry about it. You know, if it was not in the chumash, if not in the knapsack, then...
Not to read it,
Chas v'Shalom. We don't want to study Torah in the bathroom, we want to bring it in. The question is, what level of Kedusha does the Sefer have if it's not written with the actual Ksav HaShuris that the Torah was given in, according to one opinion? So... both the Chavos Yair and the Tzitz Eliezer, Eliezer Waldenberg, assume that Torah, not written in Ksav HaShuris, has a lower level of Kedusha. And therefore, when you're stuck, you can be more makeo, you can bring it into the bathroom with one covering instead of two coverings, because it's not really, you know, at the same level. It's also printed, it wasn't written. There's many reasons why printed books might not have Kedusha. The printer wasn't thinking about making a Kaddish. The printer was just trying to, you know, do his business. So he's printing it. I mean, it was supposed to handwritten. Handwritten might have more Kedusha. And also the characters, that was what I'm interested in today, the characters are not Ksav HaShuris, and therefore as such, they have less Kedusha. The Kedusha is more in the message, not in the actual characters. Let's skip now to the source number 13. Yehbia Omer, Rabbi Yosef, one of the great Sephardic Gedolim, just passed away about 10 years ago, tremendous Baki. So he discusses, he's actually talking about an interesting question, are you allowed to erase a cassette? Once again, different generation. Once upon a time, there were cassettes. So I have the parsha on the cassette. And I have Shem Hashem, Vayomer Hashem, Vidaber Hashem, Moshe Limor. I have the parsha. And I want to erase the cassette. Is that like erasing God's name? That's the question he deals with. And in that discussion, Kedarko, he discusses many other questions. And he discusses the interesting question of the practice that existed once upon a time. On the first day of school, they would take the child, the young child, and they want to show his love for Torah. I think people do this today. And they give him, you know, letters that are covered with honey and the like. So apparently the practice was that they would write a pasuk on a little cake and give the kid the cake. What did he do with the cake?
He
ate it. What do you do when you eat a pasuk?
You destroy it.
You destroy it. So the question is it permissible to give a child a little cake with a pasuk on it if he's going to destroy the pasuk? Okay, interesting question. So he writes over here, source number 13. The minhag of the rokeach is a German rishon and lazar from worms. They would give the child on the first day of class a cake that had a pasuk on it. When the child eats it, he's destroying not just the pasuk, but he's destroying God's name. God's name is. How can you let the child do this iser? And then he writes, he's not writing it, but Samashuris. He's not writing in the language, in the characters of the Torah. What Ksav is he using? Mishta, right? Mishita, some type of characters that we'll call Ksav Rashi, or that didn't exist at that time, but like some other characters. So he quotes the Kohen Tiv Rashbat, there's no Yisra Mechikas Hashem if it's not written in Ksav Shuris. So this is the issue of Mechikas Hashem. So all these sources. Are essentially nafkaminas, meaning we raise the following question: is the letters just a medium, right, to get to the message, but they have no inherent sanctity, or do we assume that there's inherent sanctity in the actual letters? And we discussed a couple of halachic nafkamina that come up that deal with this question. Namely, am I allowed to take these letters into the bathroom? And if I swear holding a book of these letters, is that considered equivalent to having sworn in God's name and the like? I want to explore with you now. Any questions, comments? Okay. In our remaining time, I just want to briefly discuss a couple of other areas of halacha that might or might not touch on this question. We know on Shabbos, you're not allowed to write. Right? One of the surahs can't write on Shabbos. If you write on Shabbos, that's an Isser. The Isser to write on Shabbos, is that to write in a specific language or in any language? What if you write French? What if you write Chinese?
Any language.
Pardon?
Any language.
So we assume halacha that any language, you can't write in any language. But this is in fact the debate in the Rishonim. If you look at source number 14, the Urzarua, Yitzchak from Vina, one of the Ashkenazi Rishonim, quotes Rabbi Yoel bar Yitzchak, Halevi, Mibon, in the city of Bon, Pirish, Ksava Komarim, the language of the priests, namely Latin, or Shar Ksavim, or other languages, Levan Mishurit, except for Asheris, Yavanis, Im Kosvi Yisrael, the Shabbos, Potom and the Torah. According to the Urzarua, the Isser from the Torah to write is only in Hebrew. If you write in English, it's only an Isser Drabanan. It's a rabbinic prohibition, but it's not the real Isser. The real Isser is only to write what language?
Hebrew.
But
is that like how it's written in the Torah, or like Asheris, or just...
He says it's not Ashuris. But
no,
it's interesting,
but
be careful.
Don't know how to write like that.
Pardon?
Most people, they know how to write Hebrew, they don't know.
No, most people today write in Ketavagol. They write in
Right,
Ketavagol.
So it's not.
So according to him, there's no Isser Minatar. It's also Drabanan. There's a din in Mesachas Gittin that if you want to buy a plot of land in Israel on Shabbos, you can't do business on Shabbos. But the Gemara says you can tell a non Jew to buy it for you. You want Jews to be able to live in Israel. So there's a question, I haven't learned that Gemara, but some understand, there was a real learned that you were going to tell him to write the deed in English or in Arabic. And that's why it's permissible, because it's two drabanan. So you're telling a non-Jew is only drabanan, and he's not going to write it in Hebrew, he's going to write it in a different language. In any case, this is discussed, the halacha, do we assume it's clearly also to write in any language? The question is the same level is it? You have to choose, you have to sign your name. There was an incident years ago where a person was arrested, and they didn't want to let him out on Shabbos. He had to sign like that he was going to bail. I don't know exactly what the case was, but he had to sign. So if he signs in English, that would be only Isser Drabanan. Maybe that would be permissible because he's stuck there. He has no food. He has to get home, etc. So this is an opinion of the Urzarua, Ben Yol, according to the Urzarua. There's no Isser Torah to write. If it's not Ashuris or Yavanis, look carefully. Yavanis also has a unique status. That's a whole other topic. The Greek language has a unique status in halacha for interesting reasons. You have to look in Leifes, Yishkov, El Hashem, that the Greek language has a unique halacha and unique status, but not for now. But in any case, I wonder if this is a local halacha connected to Hilchos Shabbos, or is this somehow related to our discussion? And what way would it be related?
The inherent Kedusha.
Possibly, if there's an inherent Kedusha to the Hebrew language, maybe that's why. When it says you can't write, what does it mean you can't write? What's writing? Hebrew.
Language.
If you write, not just in Torah, could be from writing secular, but writing in Hebrew characters, that's writing. And it could be, like I said, Greek has a unique status as well. Similar discussion in the Bach, the Viol Circus, a couple of hundred years ago. He actually was a Rav in Mezhibush. Was the Rav where the Baal Shem Tov came from.
Yeah.
So he was a Rav of Mezhibush before, really a couple of hundred years before that. But he has a discussion about the Isser to write a Chol HaMoed. We know that on Yom Tov, we have the beginning of Yom Tov, the end of Yom Tov, that's real Chag. Now in the middle, we have the intermediary days, Chol HaMoed, are they more Chol, are they more weekdays, or are they more Moed? How exactly do you experience those days? So there's a couple of prohibitions. We're allowed to travel in our cars, we can turn on lights, we do a lot of things, but we don't do everything, right? We don't do strenuous activity. We don't plow our fields, and we don't... So, what about writing? The discussion about writing Chol HaMoed. So the Bach says, verse number 15, L'fiyan eis da'iti yadavar pashut, to also ksiva moed elek samashuris. The whole prohibition of writing Chol HaMoed is what type of writing?
Ashuris.
The masa umanhu, because that's artistic, that requires a certain degree of knowledge, it's calligraphy. Aval kol ksiva misht, our regular writing, that's why you're allowed to write a letter, etc. So again, too, is this a local issue? I mean, let's say I would write calligraphy in English. What would the Bach say about that? So if it's a question of expertise and how difficult it is, so it would probably make sense that Ashuris is Asur, Sefer Torah writing, if it's so fair, and calligraphy. It also requires a certain amount of knowledge. But to write a regular script, that would be permissible. But again, I wonder, is it possibly connected? Maybe when he says Ksav Ashuris, he limits it to Dafka specifically the Torah's ksav, because that has a unique status, and therefore it's prohibited on Chomer. It's something to think about. Lastly, the Chesed Avram, the grandson of the Nesivas Mishpat, Rav Avram Tumin, lived about 150 years ago, he discusses the question about a person who wears tefillin. A little background. What arm do we wear tefillin on? That's my true question for the people in this room. What arm do we wear tefillin on?
What? Opposite of your dominant?
Opposite of your dominant, exactly. So if you're, most people are righty, so then you're right, you put on your left hand. How do you define a dominant hand?
What you
write
in?
Different responses. You're suggesting what you write in, and what do you say?
You catch it.
Well, you catch it. So that's a debate. That's an interesting debate. Well, what do you? Is it what you do most of your activities with, or is it what you write with? For many people, it's the same. Many lefties also write with their left hand. They also, you know, catch a ball with their left hand and do other things. But there are people who are, you know, lefties in terms of writing, but righties in terms of other activities. And that's a big debate in the postgame, what to do in such a case. So the Chesed Avram discusses an individual. I'll read it to you inside. I received your letter. Shadarash Iter Yad, a person who's lefty. Shows a home left of the coast of the small. He's a lefty, 100% lefty. So then there's no question. If he's a total lefty, where does he put his tefillin?
On the right.
On the right. So far, so good. The Alma, Shu small di day. And right now, he learned how to write Russian. The Yamino, Yamin the Alma. How did the Russian teacher, once upon a time, because it's before my time, maybe if you remember, or your parents remember, right? You were forced. The teacher, the Russian teacher, didn't give him a choice. I don't care if you're a lefty, you're going to write with your Russian in your right hand. So now he's a lefty, but he writes Russian with his left hand. But what language does he write Hebrew in?
Left hand.
The Russian teacher taught him to write Russian in his left hand. Russian is right hand, but Hebrew he learned from a kid, and he wrote Hebrew in his left hand. So now the question is, that which we said there's a doubt, it's a person who writes in one hand and does anything in his other hand, is that true if he writes Russian with his right hand and he does everything else with the left hand? Or is it only true if he writes Hebrew with his left hand? That's the question he's dealing with. Interesting question. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Chaf Zayin, the Batar Ketiva Zlinan, you should follow the way writing is significant. So he used to be a lefty. He always wrote words on his right hand. Now he learned how to write in Russian with his right hand. The question is, he start putting on his tefillin on his left hand. So he says, no, exactly like he suggested. Why not? Because he says, how does he write Hebrew?
With his left hand.
And Hebrew, Ashuris, exactly. Writes with his left hand, and therefore he can continue remaining to put on a tefillin on his right hand. So again, this might be a local issue in terms of tefillin, but it also might be connected to what writing means. If the person writes, just like we said, what does it mean to write on Shabbos? Maybe writing means assurance. What does it mean to write with your left hand? It means writing Hebrew. And therefore, if he writes with his left hand, he puts the tefillin on his right arm. Okay. And lastly, I didn't have room on the sheet for the sources, but we mentioned before that there's a division between Torah Shel Chsav, the written Torah, and the Torah Shel Peh, the oral Torah. And until a certain point in history, about 2,000 years ago, written Torah was only written, and oral Torah was only oral. At that point, when Rebbe saw people were forgetting, he decided that he's going to allow to write oral Torah. But some argue that when Rebbe allowed to write oral Torah, he still requested that you write it in non-Ksav Ashuri. And that's why these other types of fonts were developed, like this, or Ksav Rashi. Again, it's not clear if it's true, but there's a suggestion. Some make the suggestion that the heter to write Torah Shel Peh, to write oral Torah, is limited to not writing it in the original Torah script. That Torah script has to be reserved for what? To the written word. So that's a suggestion, again, highlighting the fact, why is that? Maybe because the Ksav Ashuri has certain sanctity to it, and we want to retain that. Even though we are now saying people are going to forget, you have to write down, we need a bookcase. If you don't have a bookcase, we're going to forget. But we're going to have a bookcase with different characters to highlight the fact that the Ksav Ashuri has a unique status.
Wait, so halacha, was there like a verdict in halacha?
The exception of halacha, they were not concerned with it. Meaning, most people write with Hebrew characters, secular things, and they throw them out. They don't think you have to take the newspaper and put it in Geniza. Still, you put it in Geniza. There are some who are machmir, but even those who are machmir, generally, what we call block script isn't exactly Ksav Shur. It's not exactly the Ogram Sefer Torah, but look, you compare it to these letters behind me on the board, they're not exactly the same. And therefore, the Ksav Halach is not to be concerned about this, but the idea that there might be sanctity in the letters themselves and the characters themselves, I think, is an interesting idea. And this has a lot, there's a lot to say about this in the world of Hasidus. I'm not an expert in Hasidus, but just to quote a few sources, there is a book by Rabbi Monk from England, The Sanctity of the Jewish Alphabet. It's an archival book that talks about the Kabbalistic ideas inherent in the Hebrew language. I never read it, but I know it exists. But there are many ideas in Hasidus. So for example, the Baal Tanya quotes in the name of the Magim Mezrich that the pasuk says, Breshit bara Elokim, right? Breshit bara Elokim, the first pasuk in the Torah. In the beginning, God created. Et Hashamayim et Aretz. What is et? What is et? So the Magid Mezer, it says et means alphabet. The first thing God created was what? He created the alphabet. The alphabet was used to create the world, meaning that these are Kabbalistic ideas that the world was created from the Torah. So what is the Torah? Well, they need the alphabet for the Torah. So the first thing God created was the language, the characters, and from that he created the Torah, and from the Torah he created the world. So these are ideas that exist in the world of Hasidus. I have on the sheet an interesting source. It's the first Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. Shiviti Hashem Negi Tamid. A person should always be thinking about God. Shukal God about Torah. This is an important principle. Mas Tzadikim Hashem Holchim Lefei Elokim. If a person thinks about God, they'll be constantly aware of His presence and they'll act accordingly. Meaning, why do we sin? Why do we slip up? Because we're not thinking that we're standing in front of God. If you're standing in front of God, you're going to make sure that you do the right thing. This is an idea that the Rambam discusses in the Mor Nevuchim, in his philosophical work, Mor Nevuchim, Guides to the Prophet's Text. And interestingly, the Ramah brings in the very beginning of Shulchan Aruch. So what's so fascinating, this is just the idea of God awareness. What does God awareness mean? Knowing the presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Does this have anything to do with letters? I would have thought so. The Mishbura quotes the Arizal, Taimashi, it's Sire, Nafshu, Tommy, and Eichshu, Omei, the Kadosh Baruch. A person should imagine that they're standing in front of God. The Kosov Shema Ari, she had Sire Shema Vayim. You should always be thinking about the letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Whenever I look, I don't just see the wall, I see Yud Kei Vav Kei. So I see the letters. Everywhere I look, I see the letters. So this is what's interesting. It's like a Kabbalistic interpretation of the Rambam. Rambam is not a great Kabbalist. So we have a Kabbalistic interpretation. What does it mean to have God awareness? Says the Arizal, to imagine the letters that make God's name. So everywhere I look, I see God's letters, which is an interesting idea. And this idea is developed in Hasidus in general. I have the next source, the Noam Elimelech, Rabbi Elimelech Milijansk. He wrote a short list of recommendations to his Hasidim, called Ksetel Katan. It's like a one page long. It has different ideas that a person should think about throughout their day to live to be a Hasid. What does it mean to be a Hasid? So he suggested his Hasidim a number of suggestions that are fascinating. One, the first one he says, if you're just sitting, wasting your time, instead of just sitting, wasting your time, imagine there's like a big fire, and there's like a guy who wants to make you, to convert you to Christianity, and you jump into the fire to not to convert. Like, to imagine literally like that, it's a harder way to. So that way you won't waste your time. Every minute will be significant to be filled with Kedushas Hashem, which is, it's a different way of looking at the world. But there were people, his students, who followed his recommendations to live, to follow his haraos. So one of them is when you eat. What do you do when you eat? The Noam Elimelech, Yitzayer Lefanof Beshas Achila Osios Ma'achal. When you eat, you should imagine in front of you the letters Mem Aleph Chaf Lamed. B'Ksav Ashur is in Ksav Ashur is. B'Yaharish Ola Tzad Yalef. And if you do the numerical value of Ma'achal, the Gematria is 91. Kemenin Havaya B'Shuv Ad Hashem. Havaya Ad Hashem is also 91. So while you're transforming your mundane activity of eating into some service of God. How do you do that? By imagining the letters, Ma'achal, in Kama Suri. So it's interesting, again, he's emphasizing the need to look at the letters. Just like Arizal said, Shiviz Hashem Nagi Samid, is to somehow think about the letters. In Hasidus and in Kabbalah, there's a lot to discuss Like I mentioned, anybody's interested, the Sefer that Rabbi Monk wrote about the wisdom of the Hebrew alphabet, apparently, I never read it, but apparently is discusses this issue. Beseder, any questions, comments?
Thank you.
I thought it was interesting, maybe ironic, I don't know, that we were just at the Kever of the Rambam, and